Gracious Heavenly Father, come into your presence through the blood of Christ, by the merits of his life, his death, his reconciliation, the atonement, Lord, that has been purchased for us. Come before your presence, Father, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thou that hast called us, Thou that in spite of all of our sin art still with us, and we trust by Thy grace, by Thy overcoming power, will be with us to the end. Father, we ask You, O Lord Jesus, for grace. So much, Lord God, that I would say so much is on my heart. I desire, Lord God, to be led by Thy Holy Ghost. Pray, Father, that You would set this exhortation in order, Father, that You would order it before the eyes of Thy brethren, that they would be exhorted, that they would be encouraged, that they would be edified, that they would be established concerning their faith, Father. That You'd give to them keys, Lord God, and that You would set them free, Lord God, that You would liberate them in the Spirit to walk with You, to obey You, to follow You, Lord God, and to fulfill Thy will, Thy perfect will in their lives, which part of that is our sanctification, part of that is our praying without ceasing, part of it is rejoicing evermore in everything, giving thanks. Father, I pray that we would fulfill Thy will in our lives. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus. We commit this service to You. Commit, Lord God, our hearts to You, Father. Lord, unless Your Spirit comes, all is vain, Father. Would You send down Thy Spirit like a dove to rest upon our hearts? Confirm Your word, Lord, in our hearts, Lord Jesus. God, we need You, Lord God. We need You, Father. We want to be burning lights for You in this world, Father. We want to hold forth the faithful word as we have been taught. We want to hold forth the word of life, Lord God. We want to shine like lights in the earth. We want to be peculiar people in the earth, Father. Oh God, would You answer this desire by sending forth Thy Spirit, by giving grace, Lord God, by giving the unction, Lord God, necessary to fulfill all the desires, the righteous desires implanted by Your Holy Ghost. We know it's not of us, Father. We know it's of You, Lord God. We know these are the desires of Your heart, Lord God. Would You give to us grace, Lord God? Would You fill us, Lord, with power? Would You fill us with strength? Would You fill us with the Holy Ghost and do us, Father? And do us, Lord God, we wait upon You. Fill us with all goodness. Fill us with all goodness, Father. Oh God, speak to every backsliding heart. Speak to every fallen saint. Speak to every slipping saint, Father. Every saint, wherever they are, Thou knowest, Lord God. You can speak words in season to every heart, Lord. You can make my words to roll upon wills, Lord God, to find entrance, Lord God, into the hearts, Lord. Give ears to hear. Give hearts to perceive, Father. Don't let us see and not see. Don't let us hear and not hear. Let us hear and be converted. Heal us, Lord. Heal us, Lord God, and take us on. We desire nothing more, Lord God, than to live worthy lives for the gospel that we profess to believe. Worthy lives. Worthy of the name that we confess before men. Show us, blessed Lord. Take us by the hand. Lead us softly. Lead us in a plain path because of our enemies. They are too strong for us, Father. Lead us on. Lead us on, O God. Ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The title of this exhortation is A Rule for Life. A Rule for Life. Text of Scripture, you can go to it. It's not marked in your Bible. Your eyes are not immediately drawn to this text of Scripture. Please mark it. Proverbs 11, verse 24 through 26. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but a blessing shall come upon the head of him that selleth it. A blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. That is a mark of a man who is giving, who is liberal, of a liberal soul, a man who is scattered. Somehow he's increasing. A blessing is upon his head. And a blessing will be upon your head. If you get anything from this exhortation, be exhorted to this, that if you scatter, you will increase. If you are of a liberal soul, you will be made fat. If you withhold, it will tend to poverty. If you withhold the corn, the people will curse you. One day, the people will curse you. But if you sell that which God has given to you, freely you have received, freely give. Brethren, if you sell what God has freely given to you, if you will distribute it, brethren, a blessing shall be upon you. That's what the Word of God says. Thus say the Scriptures. Does not say that it shall come upon you, but it says that it is upon you. Shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And you can walk for years and for months in your Christian life, and you can deny the validity, the reality, the truth, the verity of those words, and you can waste away, and you can be always tending to poverty. And a curse will always be upon you, and there will be something always corrupting the good that you take in. Stagnant. Cursed. Until you begin to believe these words, brethren. And live in light of these words. And live, if you truly believe the truth, the verity of the Scriptures that I just quoted to you, how would you live? How would you live? How much would you withhold and how much would you scatter? How greedy and stingy would you be and how liberal would you be? I remember years ago listening to Keith Daniels' sermon, and he said, in the book of Proverbs, the key scripture he marked, as he read through the book of Proverbs many times, the key scripture that he marked was Proverbs 13, verse 7, very much like the three that I just read. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. I can tell you, brethren, by the grace of God, I have experienced the truth of these words. Take it from a man who stood in the presence of God. Take it from a man who's tried the fords over the Jordan River. They're good. They'll hold up. They'll hold your weight. They're good. I've tried them. It's true, brethren. The words of God are pure words. They're all tried, as silver is tried in the furnace of earth. God has tried them. They are pure, purified seven times. God will keep His word to you. He won't be as a fountain of waters that fails. He won't be a liar to you. Trust Him. Cast yourself upon these scriptures and see if God does not bless you. See if a blessing does not come upon you. From the beginning of my walk with God, He has striven to show me the validity of these words. I remember in 2008, preaching on the streets of New York City with Corey, with Dan, with Chris, with Sean, with Ryan. And we preached for 10 days on the streets of New York City, and we poured out our lives for that city. It's the first that I ever really received the burden of God for that city. And I prayed, and I fasted, and I sought God, and I memorized scriptures, and I had an open-air preach a lot. But I was just going to launch myself into 10 days of non-stop open-air preaching. And I was afraid, and I memorized much scripture, and I memorized little sermons, just to have something to say when I stood before the multitudes, the masses of New York City. And I found these words true: there is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Remember at the end of this trip, I had a picture. Somehow I got this picture of Ryan preaching in the Staten Island ferry terminal on the Manhattan side. And we would preach oftentimes in this ferry terminal when we lived there for 3 months. We would often preach there every day. Actually, we'd preach there. In this certain picture, Ryan was surrounded by a multitude of people just kind of circled around him. And he's standing in the middle just with a stance like this. Just, you could tell he's just proclaiming the word. He's just scattering. He's just giving. He's just pouring his life out. It's glorious. Glorious picture. I put it in black and white, and I imposed these words onto that photograph. And I kept it for as long as I had that computer, my backdrop, my desktop background. It's a quote from Faithful Spurgeon. He said, "Our faith makes us abundant in good works." May I say to you, if you are doing all you possibly can for Christ, endeavor to do yet more. May I say to you, if you are doing all you possibly can for Christ, endeavor to do yet more. I believe a Christian man is generally right when he is doing more than he can, and when he goes still further beyond that point, he will be even more right. There are scarcely any bounds to the possibilities of our service. I believe a Christian man is generally right when he is doing more than he can, and when he goes still further beyond that point, he will be even more nearly right. There are scarcely any bounds to the possibilities of our service. That was what I put on the photo. I'll end the quote. Many a man who now is doing little might, with the same exertion, do twice as much by wise arrangements and courageous enterprise. We need, like the apostles, to launch out into the deep, or our nets will never enclose a great multitude of fishes if we had but the pluck to come out of our hiding places and face the foe. We should soon achieve immense success. We need far more faith in the Holy Ghost. He will bless us if we cast ourselves entirely upon Him. That's the truth. Staggering quote. Marveled at that quote for years. Seen many like it. That is definitely the cream of the crop as far as quotes along this line go that I've found. It's true, brethren. It's true. The further that I have pressed my own boundaries, the nearer right I was. I found that to be the case. And God has striven with me every time that I've come into the presence of God, that I've stood, I've tarried for a while in the presence of God, as long as I've walked with God. And God would show me certain truths that He is striving with me to lay hold of. Things that He's shown me in the past that He's wanting to remind me of. these words of life, these old paths, wherein when I walked in these paths, I found rest for my soul. And I'd come into the presence of God at times throughout the years, significant times, fasting and praying for days sometimes in the presence of God, and God leading me into these ways, reminding me of these paths of life. And this generally has always been one of them. This generally has always been one of them. The possibilities of grace. The possibilities of grace. Brethren, I can tell you, I can assure you in the Holy Ghost that there are possibilities of grace that you have not even dreamed of walking in as a Christian. You, specifically in your walk with God, there are realms of God's grace, realms of faith that you have not stepped into, that you know nothing of. You're in a pool up to your ankles, brethren. It goes over your head if you would just walk out further. If you would just venture in faith out into the waters, God would show you great, glorious things. It's faith, brethren. Going beyond what you can do in your flesh, what you are comfortable doing, that's faith. Brethren, I don't stand before you without trembling. I don't ever stand to preach, even in the open air, even before sinners, even before those who don't even know the scriptures I'm quoting, if I'm quoting them correct or not. Brethren, I'll tremble in my heart. I'm trembling. And it's everything I have just to cast myself out there by faith to preach the Word of God. It's hard. It's not easy. It's pressing me to do something that I don't naturally feel comfortable in doing. But the more I do it, the more I would do. George Whitefield, the more I do, I find. Have you found this to be true? I find that the more I do, the more I would do. The more I do, the more I would do. God has been striving with me of late to bring me back to this, and by the grace of God, for the past month, it's been glorious. I will always remember going back through the chronicles of this year. I will remember this month. This month, it's been glorious, brethren. Walking on the water with Christ. Walking on the water with Christ. Are you? Are you experiencing this grace? Do you have this grace? Are you stepping out in faith where God has to meet you? It's been glorious. A month ago, it wasn't the case. I was floundering. I was sinking, crying out, "Oh Lord, I'm sinking, save me." And God sent me to Grand Prairie for a few days. So I thought, a few days to fast and pray, get my mind right, get my eyes right again, fixed upon my Savior, my living Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God. Stop trusting in all the abundance of my riches, what I have in my flesh, which is poverty. In my eyes, poverty in God's eyes. Maybe riches in this world's eyes, but it's poverty. It's nothing to live upon. Nothing that I would willingly live upon. And I'm just grieving. I'm setting my eyes upon the Lord. And I'm asking God to restore me, to return me to the grace that I had formerly walked in. Where is it, Lord God? Where is the path of life that I've left off? And over the course of a day, Lord's reminding me of many things. He's convicting me of many things. I'm mourning like a dove, weeping down the railroad tracks in Grand Prairie, Texas, just weeping before God, asking God to restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And I'm just mourning before God, and He's speaking to me softly, speaking to me, leading me along step by step, step by step. And then the Lord brings me back to these scriptures, brethren. It's always the case. Reminds me of the possibilities of grace. If I would just scatter, if I would just lay my life down like a living sacrifice, just an offering, pour myself out upon the sacrifice and the service of another's faith. And stop considering myself so much, brethren. I've walked in the blessedness of leaving myself. At the quiet, I'm leaving myself for 8, 9, 10 hours, never even coming to check back in. So I'm just spending myself for others. I'm just pouring myself out for others, and I'm living and I'm dying. But behold, I'm living, dying. But behold, I live. And then I come back and check on Jake. How's Jake doing? He's well. He's before the Lord. He's triumphing. He's riding upon his high places. God's with him. He's strengthening him. He's upholding him. as I'm just pouring out myself for others, God is upholding me. He's strengthening me. And God's reminding me of these ways, brethren. And I know that this is the Word of God. I know this is the will of God. I know I need to lay my life down more. I need to do more than I feel like I can. And I begin to see the preservation of life, the love of my life, just deceitful sins that have crept in, the subtlety of the serpent creeping into this blessed garden of peace with God that I've had and I've walked in, and now it's being interrupted by the devil and his wiles. And I'm grieved. But I set my heart to begin to return. Spent that night praying before the Lord. The next day I get word that Peru needs help. Peru needs someone. Immediately, we need to get to Peru that day, if we can. That day. Well, I just set my heart to fast and pray. And I don't feel able in the flesh, but now God's restoring me, giving me vision. And immediately, as soon as I lay hold of it, God's sending me out to Peru. And by the next morning, Saturday morning, we're on a flight going to Peru. Didn't sleep the whole night. Got home Friday night. Was able to say goodbye to my wife, my child. My wife drove with us to the airport through the middle of the night. Talked to her, watered her, got on the airplane, didn't sleep. Got to Fort Lauderdale, I was pretty tired. Around 10 or so in the morning. I was pretty tired. These truths are in my heart. I feel like I'm walking on the water. I'm beginning to take my first steps again. I'm getting out there and I'm just perceiving somewhat of the burden for Peru. Sacrifice it's going to take. But I'm getting pretty tired now about this point. Haven't slept in quite a while. We get to Fort Lauderdale. It's like the third world. It's just a mad rush. Everyone's just rushing around. Everyone's just so loud, so chaotic. It's just the most hectic scene. We get out of the terminal into this, you know, all of the gates right there, and it's just hectic scene. There's nowhere to lay down, nowhere to sleep. We've got 9-hour layover. I'd like to get a little rest before we get on the plane to go to Peru and then show up in Peru and just begin to pour ourselves out. I'd like to get some rest. We're looking around and everything is just hectic. It's mad. Everyone's rushing to and fro. And as we're looking around, there's absolutely nowhere in this entire terminal that we can find to rest. And as we're looking, finally we light upon this one certain gate, just cut into the main hallway of the terminal, just cut in there. And it's just so nice and so quiet, just this little oasis right there in the middle of the terminal. It's just so blessed, and we're just looking upon this, Matthew and I. Look at this. Just so peaceful, just bliss. Just this oasis prepared for us right here. But it looked like it was kind of blocked off, like they may be barricading it off so you couldn't get in. They moved some of the benches out, so there was no clear walkway into it, but we were just ready to climb over the benches and go find a bench in there to lay on. And as we're about to, we're just looking upon it, there was a janitor nearby, Jamaican man, something like this. And we asked him, is it okay if we cross over and go get some rest in this nice oasis prepared for us? Is it okay if we just cross over and lay down on one of these benches? And he said, someone's dead. Someone's died. And we didn't really understand him at first. We asked him to repeat what he's trying to say. He seemed pretty sober. Finally, we realized that he's saying that someone's died. And we look over again, take a second look into this little gate. And there's a man laying across these benches with a sheet covering him, a white sheet covering him. A man had just died in this gate. And there's already a cop there taking a report, and some more ambulance and cops were coming to the scene shortly thereafter. And just immediately I began to wonder, what's God saying to us? God's already been speaking these things to me, that the ways that I've been walking in, thinking that I'm going to find rest for my soul, thinking that I'm going to have time to seek the Lord, time and space to seek the Lord and water myself, that it's actually breeding worms. It's actually breeding corruption in my heart and my walk with God. I'm not abounding in the grace of God like I have in the past. I'm troubled about this. God's restoring my mind. He's just renewing my mind these past few hours, really. And these truths, there is that scatter and yet increase it. There is one that wastes his life and yet he's increasing his life. Here we are in this hectic scene. this absolute chaos, absolute disorder, and the place that immediately to my eye looks like life, looks like peace, looks like absolute bliss, an oasis in the desert, as it were, is actually the most hectic, most chaotic, most unpeaceful place in the whole terminal. And I believe God began to speak to me through this. If you're wise, you're catching my drift, you're understanding the application of this. Brethren, these ways that we fancy to be our paths of life, the paths wherein we'll find rest for our souls. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof, brethren, let me tell you, the end thereof is the way of death. It ends in death. It's going to end in bitterness of soul. The end is wormwood, bitter, bitter, sharp as a two-edged sword, brethren. This is what I'm getting at. I knew it was the Lord's heart to share this with you this morning. I believe that I erred. I feel like I've been walking a tightrope. The grace of God, the last 4 weeks, it's by the grace of God, the Lord established me in this truth in Peru. And I was able to just be led about by a hand, even in the flesh, to places that I would not, times that I would not. I'd like to be seeking God right now. I'd like to be spending a couple of hours just alone in the Word, alone in prayer right now, but I can't. I've got to preach to them, I've got to preach to them, and then I've got to go and I've got to preach to these people, and I've got to have a Skype conversation with these people across the world, and these people across the world over here, and I've got to preach all the time. I've got to preach, I've got to lead a prayer meeting here, open air preach to these sinners here. I've got to preach to these elders here. I've got to just pour out my life all of the time. And I was just on the fast track by God's grace. God had heard my prayers. He heard my appeals to Him to lead me in this path. Again, whatever it takes, oh Lord God, just grant me repentance. And God led me to Peru, to be led about by the hand. People of a strange tongue. Sometimes I didn't even know what time. They're saying, we're going to get up, we're going to get going at this time, we're going to go here at this time. And I just go to bed not even understanding what they just told me. And then just to be waking up in the morning by them, you've got 20 minutes. And I've got to be earnest in the presence of God. I've got to lay hold of the blessing of God for my day. That's going to be the only time I've got for many hours. And God just established me in this for 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, brethren, I poured out my life. I poured out my life. And the times that I did have in the presence of God, brethren, I savored it. I basked in the presence of God. I pled with all of my might. I savored it, brethren. And when you're pouring out your life, when your life is not your own, your time is not your own, the way that you choose to go in a certain day is not your own, brethren, you're going to plead before God for His blessing. You're going to be earnest, you're going to be fervent in your business, you're going to be pouring out your heart in the presence of God continually for His blessing. Since then, the last 2 weeks here, approximately since I've been back, there have been ups and downs, there have been battles, but overall, the grace of God has kept me. But this morning, I believe last night, the Lord saw that there was a breach. Satan saw that there was a breach. He assailed me this morning. It was a rough morning for me. But as I was halting this morning in the presence of God, the Lord began to show me what's going on and showing me that I need to preach. I need to preach these things. I need to pour out to you these things. I need to show you the path of life. I need to be held accountable to my own words. One day, the words that I'm preaching before you this day will either justify me or condemn me. And I wouldn't have it any other way, brethren. I want that to be the case. I want myself to be bound by my words. I want to be held accountable to these words. As much as they're the words of God, I believe that this is a rule for life. I believe that this is foolproof, brethren. I believe that this is a principle. If it's fixed in your life, if it's fixed in my life, we will go on with God. And brethren, I don't believe that there's anyone among us that's walking this perfect balance as they ought. I believe that God is calling us to it. by God's grace, I'll clear up some difficulties surrounding it. But I felt like Moses, when he was in the presence of God, he was turned aside, he saw this great sight, this bush that burned and yet was not consumed, and he's led by this, and God calls his name, and he's led into the presence of God, to this holy ground, and God shows him very principal matters that are going to shape his life, that are going to rule his life. And one of these, I believe, is this very principle. One point, God says, put your hand into your bosom, Moses. He puts his hand to his bosom, he pulls it out, and it's leprous, white as snow. And he says, put your hand back into your bosom and bring it forth again. And it's flesh like a child. It's clean. It's new. You know what God's saying, brethren? God's saying, Moses, I'm calling you to lead my people out of Egypt into a waste, howling wilderness of dragons and serpents, of enemies on every side. And you're going to have to lead them through many temptations, through many trials. You're going to have to lead them to the promised land. God knowing all along the years that awaited him. It wasn't 3 years. And then they entered in through Kadesh Barnea into the promised land, over the Jordan into the promised land. Moses leading the way into Canaan. That's not what happened. God knew all along that it meant 3 years abiding at Horeb for a time, and then going on to Kadesh Barnea, only to be turned around 40 years. Again, Moses, 40 years. Last 40 years of his life in the wilderness. God knew this. God knew what it was going to, the calling that he was giving to Moses in that hour. In this burning presence of God, in this holy hour with God. God was not wasting a word. He was not wasting a sign. Was not wasting a wonder. God knew the calling that he had for Moses and what the next 40 plus years of his life meant. And God was not sparing. Moses was faithful in all of God's house. He was faithful in all of God's house. And I'll tell you why. It's because of the beginning. Formidable stages of his ministry to the children of Israel, fresh out of Egypt. What did God say to him? He said, Moses, if you put your hand into your bosom, if you get slothful in your work, if you lack diligence in your business, you're going to pay for it. Everything that you touch, instead of turning to gold, it's going to be corrupted with leprosy. You're going to suffer for it. But if you repent, if you put your hand back in your bosom, pluck it out again. Be like the flesh of a child. God will be with you again. God will be with you. If you'll work, if you'll do the work. God said to Solomon, David said to Solomon, if you'll do the work, if you'll build the house, I'll be with you. And God was with Solomon wherever he went, as long as he was doing the will of God. God will be with you, Christian, as long as you do the will of God. Lo, even to the ends of the earth, God will be with you. He'll never forsake you. Never, never, never forsake you if you'll stay with him. If you'll stay true to his burden, if you'll prove his work to the end, keep his works to the end, you'll have rejoicing in yourself and not in another. The grace of God, brethren, if you ever heard of it, if you ever heard of the grace of God, if you've ever seen the grace of God, brethren, it sounded like a cross ringing in your ears. God is saying, die to yourself, die every day, die every hour, come and follow me. And the resurrection of the Son of Man, come and follow me. But how can you ever taste of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, brethren, unless you're tasting of his death? So he says, die every day. Come. Follow me. That's what the grace of God sounds like. And his grace, which was bestowed on me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but Christ. The grace of God in me. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation. That was bestowed upon Paul. And what did it do? What did it cause him to do? It caused him to labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not him, but Christ in him. The grace of God in me. That's the grace of God. If you've ever seen it, brethren, that's what you're doing. That's what your life looks like. It looks like being wasted. It looks like being poured out. It looks like being shattered and broken. It looks like those men of Gideon. What was their weapon? What was their strength? Their cry in battle was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But Gideon didn't have a sword. Neither did his 300 men that were with him. They had no sword. They had no carnal strength. What was their strength? What was their weapon of righteousness in the right hand and on the left? Their weapons which were not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. There's a trumpet in one hand and an earthen pitcher in the other, but not just an earthen pitcher. An earthen pitcher with a light inside. And what was their strength, brethren? Brokenness. Break the earthen vessel and the light will shine forth. And that's what discomfited the armies of the east. That's what discomfited all these Midianites that encamped themselves round about them. That's what will thwart the devil every time when you're broken in the presence of God. Brokenness, brethren. Brokenness, not self-preservation, self-interest, self-seeking. Brethren, the only self that God knows about, that this Bible knows about, speaks about, exalts, is self-sacrifice. Die to yourself. Die to yourself and you will live. Christ did not come to be served, but to serve others and to give Himself a ransom for many. Christ died for you. He girt Himself with a towel and washed your feet. That's the life of Christ. Always dying. But behold, He lives. Always pouring Himself out for another. That's life. That's what it looks like. Salvation, what does it look like? Rest in Christ, what does it look like? It looks like laboring. You labor to enter into this rest. It's not a carnal rest, brethren. The labor, the rest of Christ looks like labor. And when you're giving yourself more than you ever thought you could, I'm telling you, brethren, you'll find it true. You'll mark it down on your calendar. You'll highlight the day, hallmark event in your life, that this is the closest you ever came to Christ-likeness. Your only motive, your only agenda in this life, Christ-likeness, just to be like your Lord. And that is the nearest you will ever get on this side of eternity. Dying. Dying. Preached to you last week, the gospel, essentially, the gospel for 3 hours. I just exalted the gospel before you, only just to come to these two verses. The gospel call. And I exalted the gospel before you, brethren. If you ever see the gospel aright, if you ever behold Jesus Christ aright, the grace of God aright, that's going to be the call. That's going to be the reasonable end of what you have heard. The conclusion. Give your body a living sacrifice. This woman, this broken woman, this sinful woman, when she saw Christ, when she saw the gospel, when she saw the grace of God personified before her eyes, what did she do? What did she do? She broke through the host. She broke through the wall. She broke in to the house of a Pharisee who would despise her, who had despised her. And she came and bowed at the feet of the Son of God, the precious Son of God, Lord of glory. And she took this earthen vessel, this alabaster box, and she broke it at His feet. She broke it at His feet. And the precious treasure inside, this precious ointment, spikenard, was spilled out all over the feet of Jesus Christ. What meaneth this waste, says the carnal mind. What meaneth this waste? Jesus said, it's not a waste. Wherever this gospel is preached, the good work that this woman has done upon me shall be preached alongside of it. And it is, brethren. Though you never hear it in the book of Acts, though you never see it anywhere in the rest of the scriptures, this woman's name, this woman's deed, ever mentioned again, brethren, every time the gospel is preached, you hear of it. Every time that you ever see the gospel aright, you ever look upon the nail-pierced Son of God aright, you ever see the grace of Jesus Christ this night. If you see it, brethren, you're going to hear coming in your soul. Waste it all. Waste your life. Pour it all out.
things that are most precious to you. Just give it all to God. Your time, your energy, your thoughts, your children, your wife, your husband, your job, everything that you have. Just lay it at the feet of Christ. Waste everything that you have. Everything that you hold precious, everything that rages in your members and you don't know, you don't have peace because you're not sure if this is right or this is right. Brethren, all of that will be at peace if you'll just keep this heart. Living sacrifice, waste, death. That's what it looks like. Death. It looks like you're losing something. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but they have to be broken. They can be broken. They're earthen. They can be broken, but they must be broken, brethren. And we fancy all of these auxiliary places of rest to be our true rest, and none of them offer rest. None of them satisfy. You want to put this off. You want to put this off. You want to put your wife off for a little while. You want to put your children off for a little while because you want to seek God. But you didn't find rest for your soul. Why? You wanted to get this certain thing for yourself. Lay up this certain treasure for yourself because it's safety. It's security. It's blessed. It will help you, but it hurts you. Piercing you through with many sorrows, drowning you in perdition. Why? Because you fancied it to be a rest for your soul, but it offers no rest. This is the hardest thing about this doctrine. It's where do you draw the line? Where is the line drawn between work and rest? We just lay our lives down all of the time. When will we ever rest in Christ? When will we ever have time to water ourselves? He that watereth shall be watered also himself. The words are plain, brethren. This is echoed throughout all of the Scripture. This is the end of our religion. It's to lay our lives down. That is the greatest expression of love, the greatest thing that we can manifest in our lives. Love, the greatest expression of it is that you would lay down your life for your friends, for others. Brethren, I'm telling you, you will find rest for your soul. And I'm confident in that, brethren, because when I have been spending myself to the uttermost, I have not been seeking rest for myself. Boaz sought rest for me. Ruth sought rest for me.
Amen.
Naomi sought rest for Ruth when she expended herself, when she labored ceaselessly laboring, pouring herself out in another man's field. Naomi was stirred to seek rest for her. Christ was stirred to seek rest for His apostles when He sent them out two by two, and they're going everywhere, they're preaching the gospel, they're healing diseases, they're casting out devils, they're expending themselves, giving themselves all that they have, and they return to Christ. Mark 6:34, they return to Christ, and they're telling Him of all the deeds that they've done and all the good that they've brought. He says, come away. Come away, my love. Into a desert place. For many people were coming and going. There was not even leisure to eat. He says, come away to a desert place. Rest a while, Christ says. Rest a while. He'll find rest for you. But brethren, I'm telling you, if you come into the presence of God, you're really standing in His presence. You're really hearing His word, marking what His counsel is saying to you. He'll say this every time. Your life. Give everything that you have, all of your energy, give it to another. Lay down your life for your brethren. They'll say it every time. Do good at all times, especially to the household of God, the household of faith. That's what He'll say to you. We are not entitled to rest, brethren, as Christians. We are not entitled to rest. We're entitled
to work. We're entitled to labor. We're entitled to death, always. That death would always be working in us. We are not entitled to it. You do not have your own tithe. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. And this is how, laid upon the altar of God. Die all the time. You are not entitled to rest. You ought not to seek great things for yourselves here, but God, if you are faithful, God will seek rest for you. Shall I not seek rest for thee, my daughter? Naomi said to Ruth. Many of you wonder why your graces so quickly evaporate. Why all of the goodness that you've ever experienced just as vain and futile and passing and transitory as a morning cloud. You wonder why. You wonder why you're just so filled with grace. You're just so filled with glory. And you walk in that glory for a couple of days. And then where did it go? It's just your goodness was as a morning cloud. It's evaporated. Where did it go? I wonder, brethren, if in your goodness, in the grace that God had given you, were you pouring yourself out? Were you laying down your life? Were you being a living sacrifice? Were you doing more than you ever thought possible? Were you expending yourself and being spent for souls? That's what it looks like, brethren. And if you are not coming to that point, if you are not coming there every time with whatever grace God has given you, it's going to breed worms. It's going to corrupt. God is not looking for perfect, preserved specimens of men. He's looking for living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Living dead men. And I know that there are lusts contending for this truth in your body. You're just always at a standstill. What do I do here? What do I do now? What do I do here? Brethren, for myself, this is the rule for life. This is how I know that I'll do good in God. This is how I know that I'll go on and that God will water me, that I will be well watered, that I will be preserved. It's when I'm seeking God earnestly with all of my heart. And as you brethren start knocking on my door, as you brethren start text messaging me, as you brethren start calling me, as I start hearing a cry, I get on my knees. I intercede. I pray for another. I answer the phone. I answer the call. I go visit a brother. I have you over to my house for supper. I go and I visit you. I lay down my life. I try to prove with all of my heart the burdens of God that He has given to me. All that I have, brethren, sometimes it's from morning till dawn, till late into the night, literally. And then when I'm tempted to just give my wife the second best that I have, and the Lord tells me, preach to her with everything that you have at midnight. And she's just waiting for a word. And I come in and I'm tired and I'm just destroyed. And I just want to get a little bit of rest. I'll be so all the better for it in the morning. I just get a little bit of rest now, but I lay down my life and I preach to my wife and God comes and manifests Himself in glory. And He does what I never could have done because I just walked in Christ and the good works that were before ordained that I should walk in. And it looked like me dying, not me preserving my life, not me choosing my own way. And then God meets with me in the morning. And all over again. All over again. That's just the life of a Christian. Just death. Brethren, is God worthy of anything less than our broken alabaster boxes of the precious ointment of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the sweet savor of the knowledge of Christ? The only way to get that out, the only way for that to be permeating the atmosphere of wherever you are at whatever time, by breaking yourself. Breaking. So when we come together, break yourself in the presence of God. Say, Lord, is there any way I can lay down my life for this brother?
when you're sitting in your house and you feel like it's just so quiet and there's nothing to do, just ask God, is there anyone that I can lay down my life for? Is there any saint that could be blessed in any way? That should be your mind all of the time. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times that you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen. He lived to be 84 years old, proving that truth in his life, doing good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, all the time. Every way, whoever he could, all the ways that he could, pouring out his life, brethren, for another. It's madness, staggering to the world, but it's life to Christians. It's reasonable to Christians. It's a savor of life to life to those that are saved, the knowledge of Christ. Precious spikenard, the precious ointment. It's a savor of life to life to those that are saved. Philippians chapter 2. Seems the closer Paul came to death, the more that he loved to die. The more that he exhorted others to die, the more that he esteemed what it was to die while you yet live, that the life of Christ could be manifest. He says in Philippians 2, throughout, he just gives many blessed exhortations to this. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things. Every man does that. Every man is looking to what he wants or what he needs or what he perceives is necessary for his spiritual well-being and welfare. Brethren, when I'm tempted in a moment, generally the temptation, it's not tempting if it's some carnal, evil, sinful desire creeping into my heart, seeking to take me away from the will of God in a particular situation. Generally, brethren, it's I need to go for a little prayer walk. I just need to go. I just need to go separate myself for a little time. I just need to pray a little bit. But brethren, ever so subtly in this desire that's rising in my heart, it's so pure, it's so good, but ever so subtly, I perceive a corruption working in it. That it's not pure. That I'm going to go out on my prayer walk and I'm going to come back all the worse for it. God's not going to be with me. He's here. He's in the middle of the battle. I don't need to abandon my brethren when they're on the front line. I need to stand with them. I need to lead them. I need to preach. I need to pour out my life. It's not time to go on a prayer walk. Sounds so good, just sounds so righteous. That's how you're going to be deceived. From this perfect way, brethren, you have to have a perfect balance when you're judging these things. That's what I'm saying. It's a perfect balance, brethren, between work and rest. And you have to be able, you have to have the quickness of focus as an eye. Your conscience has to be. Your eye, when the rays of light are coming too hard upon us, it will be harmful, it will be painful, it will do torment, detriment to your eye. And quickly, your eye, the aperture adjusts and focuses and closes, does whatever it needs to do to protect your eye. That's how your conscience needs to be against sin. Must be that sensitive, that focused, brethren. You're going to fall, you're going to falter, you're going to flounder, you're going to wonder why your days are so graceless. Is your conscience quick as the focus of an eye? Are you seeing this sin lurking in this desire that seems so righteous outwardly, seems so clean, so pure, but underneath you know Satan's in it? God, make you sensitive. God, make you tender to His Spirit. It's not a strange thing, brethren. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for the way of escape that He's providing until you get to the other side. It will be always waiting for you if you'll just look for it. Just look for it. But brethren, the only way that you're going to be built up on your most holy faith, the only way that you're going to be kept in the love of God, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray, pray, pray in the Holy Ghost and everything will be clear. Everything is so plain. Everything is so simple when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And everything's on the altar and you're saying, oh God, anything that's hindering your blessing, anything that's hindering more and more and more Christ's likeness, take it away. Purge the floor. Let nothing remain. No cost is too great. Lord, I'll do anything. I'll purge anything. Bowing my knees for just 15 minutes with my wife yesterday afternoon. Just bowing our knees together. Just pouring out our hearts like this immediately. God said, get off Facebook. We've been on Facebook for years. God said, get off Facebook immediately. Got off Facebook. No ifs, ands, or buts. Just saying, yes, Lord. Your way is best. If you're sensitive, if you're tender, if there is nothing that you're holding back, nothing that you will restrain from the finger of God, He'll lead you on. He'll lead you in the paths of uprightness. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for His own name's sake. He will see if there's any wicked way in you, and He'll lead you in the way everlasting if you'll let Him. Truly, let Him. There's truly no sacrifice too great that you would make for Him. Right now, everything's on the altar. Brethren, this is the most glorious experience of a Christian's life. This should be how we are always living, always pouring out ourselves. That's glorious, brethren. That woman, I'm telling you, with the alabaster box pouring that out, she didn't lose that blessedness the day later. 2 weeks later, she didn't slip into lukewarmness, and now she's gathering back the ointment into her newly formed alabaster box, and she's taking it all back, and she's not pouring herself out anymore in the presence of God. The most precious thing, the most costly thing that she had in her entire life, it's all just laid at the feet of Christ, just wasted in the presence of Christ. She's not taking it back 2 weeks later, brethren. She's living that. She's living that. You're going to worship something. You were designed by God to worship. You have attention. You have hands. You have feet. You have eyes that focus. You have minds that concentrate. You have hearts that feel and that love and that experience affection. God has given you all of these things and you cannot be neutral. There is no neutrality in our hearts. It's impossible for a created man or woman by God to ever be neutral. They will be worshiping, pouring out themselves for something. And so it's reasonable when God comes to you and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's reasonable. It's reasonable that you should worship Him 100% of the time. That you should pour everything out all of the time for Him. Because when you are not pouring yourself out 100% all of the time for Him in those times when you are not, your heart's divided. Your heart is divided. You have an evil eye, God says. God says a single eye, it's a good eye. A single eye. Anything else is an evil eye. Unite my heart to fear thy name. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. One thing have I desired, a king. with a kingdom. One thing have I desired. Not to expand his realm. Not to expand his dominion. One thing have I desired. To stand in the presence of God. Stay with God. All the days of my otherwise worthless life. Your life is otherwise worthless. Anywhere else but the presence of Christ. It's worthless. David knew that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 20, 21, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That's Timothy. Naturally, he'll care for another man before he cares for himself. Every man looks on his own things and not on the things of others. For all seek their own. Not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's what it looks like to be a man of God. That's what it looks like, brethren, to walk with God, to have the peace which passes all understanding, guarding your heart, keeping your mind, keeping you in Christ Jesus at perfect peace, nothing offending you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was so much higher than you. He had so much more claim than you to the deity of God. He was God. He didn't think that it would be robbery if he was one, equal with God. And yet, in spite of this favored position, he laid it all down. But he made himself of no reputation, brethren, how much more if the God of heaven, who was God, a very God, laid his life down and took upon himself the form of a servant. How much more should you, worm, creature made by God, sinner, lay down your life, take upon yourself the form of a servant. And being made in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it's a faithful saying, if you suffer with him, you will reign with him. But are you suffering? Are you laying down your life? Are you counting your life dear unto yourself? Paul said, none of these things move me. The things that would move you most, none of these things move me, Paul says. I have the sentence always, the sentence of death in myself, that I should not trust in myself, but in God that raises the dead. The things that would move you most, that you're going to be bound, you're going to be in prison, you're going to lose your head, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, listen, that I may finish my course with joy. Do you expect to finish your course with joy, dear brethren, beloved of God, Christian, saint on the narrow way? Do you expect to finish your course with joy if you are counting your life dear to yourself? Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that, in order that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20. Say your confession. Can you say that, brethren, right now, that you are not counting your life dear to yourself? You're not seeking to preserve yourself. You're not seeking to preserve your time. Your time, your energy, your thoughts, all that you have, your money, your resources, your hands, your eyes, everything that you have. It's not your own. You're ready to glorify God with your body, whether by life or by death. You're glorifying God in your body. That's what it is to walk with God. Philippians. Chapter 2, the end of chapter 2. Epaphroditus, speaking of Epaphroditus, verse 26, He longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. Why was he sick? Why was he sick, nigh unto death? Why was he full of heaviness? Who was this man Epaphroditus? What was flooding his heart? Because for the work of Christ, verse 30, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Do you see this man? Do you see this man, brethren, laying down his life even to the point where he will actually physically die unless God helps him, unless God has mercy on him? But you say, well, I don't need to expend myself that much. Brethren, he didn't regard his own life. Paul didn't count his own life dear to himself. Paul is commending this saint to the rest of the saints in Philippi. He's a man of God. Timothy does not care for his own state, but he's naturally going to care for the state of others. Timothy, Epaphroditus being commended. These others in Rome being commended. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, not to the ministry of themselves, but to the ministry of the saints, brethren. Lay down your life. Press the boundaries, your own boundaries, when you feel like you're just going to wear yourself thin and you're going to be sick and you're going to die. Give yourself more and more and more and more for brethren with charity bounding in your heart. And God will be with you. He will sustain you. He will not suffer you to be moved. He'll uphold you, brethren. Do not count your life dear to yourself. And you will finish your course with joy. You will fulfill the ministry given to you by Jesus Christ. And if not, if you preserve yourself, if you allow these subtle lusts of preservation of self, love of life, these things, to go unchecked and unbridled in your breast, brethren, you will not have this blessed testimony. You will not experience the blessedness of this man who is always scattering more and more and more. He's making himself poor, and yet he's rich because you made yourself rich, but you're poor in God's eyes. North American Christianity in God's eyes is bankrupt, brethren. And that's what most of you still have lingering in your heart, coursing in your thoughts. As you're meditating on how to walk aright with God, practically speaking, many of you need to be purged. Your North American false Christianity, false devilish wisdom, Christianity, false reality ministered to you by the devil, the god of this world, Satan, blinding the eyes particularly of all the world, but particularly America, North America. I find the more I do, the more I would do. Have you ever found that to be the case? Just a word on these lusts, something that's burning in my heart. Matthew 24, parable of the servants. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? To give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. He shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in the hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut
him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There, the portion of hypocrites, the inheritance of hypocrites who should have been laying down their lives for their brethren. But instead they begin to smite their brethren. Why? Because they're eating and drinking with the drunken. What is that? What is that to eat and drink with the drunken? That causes you to no longer be looking to his coming? Brethren, it is Luke 21, verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time, Luke 21, verse 34, your hearts, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. But we don't dwell on the face of the whole earth. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This temptation will come upon all those that dwell on the face of the earth. But we are in Christ, our lives hidden with Christ in God. We have mortified our members which are upon the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And having done all, to stand, having overcome all, literally, Ephesians 6, to stand in the presence of the Son of God when He comes. But brethren, something is going to keep back Christians from looking, from being ready, from watching. Yes, He shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. But for who? For those that are looking for His coming. For those that are looking for His coming, shall He return the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for His coming? Are you looking for His appearing? Are you looking to something else? Are you looking to the latest episode, the to-be-continued, the cliffhanger? Are you looking to that? Are you looking to the latest device? Are you looking to the latest toy? Are you looking to the latest gadget? Are you looking to the latest fashion? It remaineth that those that have wives be as though they had none, those that weep as though they wept not, those that use this world as not abusing it. For the world passeth away, fashion thereof. He that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Surfeiting and drunkenness. Your heart can be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Eating and drinking with the drunken. Being deluded by the things that are deluding this world, that are making them drunken, that are making them surfeit. You can be destroyed by them, brethren. Eating and drinking with the drunken, smiting your fellow servants, so that day comes upon you unawares. Are you eating and drinking with the drunken? Are you full of the things that the world is full of? Are you debauched by the things that the world is debauched by? Are you overcharged by the things that are overcharging the world? Brethren, you should be taken up. You should be intoxicated with the burden of Jesus Christ. You should be always looking for the good that you can be doing all of the time to everyone around you. You should be living for another. You should be living for Christ. This should be the working out of the life of Christ in you. Is that when He was hungry, you fed Him. When He was thirsty, you gave Him water to drink. When He was naked, you clothed Him. When He was sick or in prison, you visited Him. And you're going to stand before God, brethren. Listen to me. You're going to stand before God. And if you do not hearken to the words that I'm saying to you in the fear of God, you are going to stand across a great chasm fixed between you and myself by the grace of God. And you'll be over there, far, far away, on the left side. What will you have to say for yourself? You were warned. You're going to go to hell.
because you didn't live for another. You didn't live for Christ. You didn't break your body, your life, in the presence of God continually. It's reasonable, brethren. Anything else is anti-Christ religion. Anything else that leads somewhere else but then a living sacrifice, a broken alabaster box of precious ointment. What do you have that's precious to you? Time with your husband. Time with your children. You're going to have all the time with your husband and by the grace of God with your children in heaven. But what about sinners? What about those that are struggling? What about those that don't know Christ? What about them? You have all the time to seek God in eternity. Many of you, when you desire to seek God, brethren, you're just desiring to feed yourself. Drink of the deep crystal waters before your eyes, leaving the rest muddied for those behind you. Lay down your life for your wife. Lay down your life for your children. Don't give the second best to your wife. Don't give the second best to your children. Preach to them. Lay down your life for somebody. This is the way of peace. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But a blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. I can tell you, brethren, innumerable stories how I've proved these things to be so that I'm preaching to you right now. Remember once, 2012, beginning of 2012, January. I was in Wisconsin at the time. And for some cause, I flew down to Dallas for a week, just about a week, via 8 days. And I was with the brethren in Dallas. And brethren, for a week's time, I poured myself out. My wife stayed back in Wisconsin. Judith stayed back in Wisconsin. I poured my life out every day. Many of you remember the time that we had. And I poured myself out every day, preaching all of the time to everybody, singing hymns with brethren here, interceding with brethren there, just going about doing good all across the countryside, just preaching, laying down my life. And brethren, maybe it's not preaching necessarily for you, but what do you have? God has given you talents, and He's going to look for how you've improved them. For how you've improved them, for how you just put yourself out there, though you had fears, though you had trepidations of mind, and you were just so scared at times. And drawing back, his soul shall have no pleasure in him that draws back. And you'll feel that. You'll feel that he's not having pleasure in you. But as you draw near to God, and you just begin to expend yourself, spin and be spent for souls, you'll find and feel the pleasure of God is upon you. And I just gave myself preaching everywhere, all the time, sleeping under a desk in the study of my house. Some other family was sleeping in my bedroom at that time. And I'm just sleeping, just this little corner hole in my closet, just getting as minimal sleep as I can, just pouring out myself. I just want to pour out myself more and more. And brethren, I feel so empty. I feel so dry as I'm going to preach to someone. But as I go, as I just stand in the way and I just open my mouth, God fills it. Open wide thy mouth, O Israel, and I will fill it. That's the miracle of being a Christian. Is that you are dry. You have nothing to give, but God fills you with goodness.
Amen.
He will, if you'll give yourself. That's how the whole week was. Finally, the end of the week, last full day I had, Sunday, leaving on Monday. Ryan, Sean, and I went to the garage of Jesse's house in Arlington, and we're just bowing our knees before the Lord. We're about to have the Sunday service. And I'm just praying before the Lord, what would He have me to do? I have something burning on my heart. And I'm wondering, what would the Lord have me to do? And I'm just praying and praying and praying for the Lord. And I'm telling the brothers, I'm willing.
But I literally had lost my voice, utterly, just beyond hoarse. It was just utterly lost, it, almost altogether. Could barely speak, barely articulate. We prayed, and we all believed it was the will of God for me to preach. And brethren, I went, and I preached, and God gave grace, God gave glory. He'll do the same thing for you. He'll just give yourself. And I preached with a voice, truly, if I ever preached with the voice of an angel, it was that time. God is with me. Are you proving these things? Can you prove the promise true for you? Can you say that it's true? You've experienced these things. If you have, brethren, return. This is the way of life. This is the way of the cross. Keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from the subtle snares of the devil that will hinder this blessedness. Subtle, brethren. Very subtle. God is their belly. They mind earthly things, enemies of the cross. It's a faithful saying that if we be dead with Him, we shall live with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. Say it again as I close. There are possibilities of grace that you have never experienced, that you've never imagined. And God means for you to walk in that grace. It's dying, but behold, you live. Preach until the day I die. Believe it with all my heart. This has been my most glorious liberty, most glorious experience of walking with God.